We're live.
In a past life, I weighed 315 pounds and played football in the NFL. I've now been involved with WordPress since 2008, and I'm the founder of the Theme Foundry. We just released a free drag-and-drop WordPress theme called Make. It makes building WordPress websites insanely simple. You should download it and give it a try. I'm Drew Stroney, and the Dradcast starts now.
From the bowels of WordPress Nation, it's
time it is.
All operators are busy at this time. Please hold.
Drag.
For the Dradcast. Here to talk WordPress news, events, and fizzy pop with community leaders.
Ultimately letting smarter people run the show weekly.
We bring you your favorite Santan alumnus, Brad Williams and Dre Armada. Sit back, folks, grab something to sip on, and get ready to press on. The Dradcast starts now.
That's right. It is time for another episode of the Dradcast. Dre, my brother, man, I swear you're being away in front of our eyes. What's up?
Man, I'm pretty excited. So I hit the 60-pound mark this last week officially. I'm down to 198 from 258 pounds since I started my jiu-jitsu journey last summer. Man, I'm super pumped, and I'm gearing up for Worlds at the Long Beach Pyramid tomorrow night. So hopefully I can say come next Dradcast that I'm a world champion. So we'll see what happens.
World champion host of the Dradcast, Dre Armada. That's pretty exciting, man. Definitely have to keep us posted. I know you said there's a live stream that we'll share out throughout the show. I think you mentioned it last week, so we can all kind of watch you virtually. That's going to be a lot of fun. But we got a great show lined up tonight with a really exciting guest. Really, really happy to get into it. We got a lot of theme stuff to talk about today. So we definitely want to welcome Drew Stroney to the show. Drew, what's up, man?
Hey, Brad, how's it going? Dre?
Hey, living the dream. How's it going, Bubba?
That's quite an intro. I feel like that's an intro nobody's going to mess with you about. In a past life, I could kick your ass, and I still could today. So, no, we're excited to have you on the show. So, Drew is the founder of The Theme Foundry, which is a WordPress theme shop, like you said. It's been around since 2008, so you're one of the older players on the block.
Yeah, we've been around. It was back when we started. In 2008, there wasn't much to be said about WordPress themes. It was kind of just the early innings.
Wild West. The Wild West of premium themes. I think, you know, there was a few premium theme companies that started. I know, you were obviously one of them. I think Studio Press, which at the time was Revolution, I think.
Yeah.
iThemes was 2008. Those are the three big ones that kind of that I can think of, but yeah, it was really, really early on, kind of in that world. But we'll get into it. We definitely have the interview coming up, but before we do, let's find out what you guys are sipping on.
Hey, what you sipping on?
Oh man, I asked for it. It's a good one. I love our bumpers.
I'm drinking a Canada Dry. Diet even. That's like beyond not boring.
it's like pulling calories out of your body drinking that, right? That's great. Drew, what do you got over there,
I'm
man?
I'm drinking water, so I'm even lamer than Dre.
No, I don't know, man. Oh, it's probably a good call.
This is the three Lamigos, right? I also take it a little easy. Memorial Day weekend, you know, I had a few beverages, so I'm taking it easy this week. So I too am sipping on water. So, well, cheers, fellas. Here's the hydration.
Hydration and, yeah, so this is only the second time in history of the Dradcast. We're talking 46 episodes that we've had a completely dry show. Yeah. Holy cow.
We're going to make up for it in Philly here in a couple weeks. So, yes, it's probably for the best. So let's get into it. Drew, we want to find out about you. So we had you, we were on a podcast with you. We were trying to figure out pre-show. I know it's been over a year. We know that much, right? It was back on WP Late Night days. But a lot's changed since then, and our audience has changed since then. So we kind of like to, when we have hosts come on, we kind of like to dive into your past. And you definitely have a very interesting past, which is quite a bit different from most hosts we have on the show. Most hosts have not played in the NFL professionally. Actually, none of our hosts have. So why don't you tell us how that transition happened? So you were drafted in the NFL in 2000, or was it?
2004. I was drafted by the New York Giants in the seventh round. 2004 draft.
So kind of tell us about when your professional football career kind of wound down and how that evolved into getting into WordPress.
Right. So I had always been interested in computers, tech, online stuff. When I was playing football, we're obviously really, really busy during the season, but during the off season, there's a lot of downtime. You're basically just working out. There's some, you know, team activities, but you do have a lot of free time. So naturally, being interested in tech and web stuff, I started just kind of, getting into that and messing around with websites. At one point, I wanted a website, so I said, hey, why don't I try doing it myself? I've always kind of had an interest in this, so I started learning, you know, HTML, CSS, those sort of things. So that's kind of how I first got interested. And then obviously WordPress was still really just starting out then, or, you know, very young. And it was kind of on my radar. But that was how I first kind of got WordPress on my radar initially.
So you're dabbling with WordPress. You're kind of learning HTML. You're learning CSS. Starting to play around and understanding how WordPress works with themes and design on the front-end dev side. At what point, now, did you kind of start into, like, freelance? Were you just tinkering with it and at some point decide, you know what, I could kind of build a business around this? You know, what point did it click that, you know what, I could make some money here?
So when we first started, we actually didn't start with WordPress. We didn't start with online. We started with just kind of like brick-and-mortar local marketing business. I'm not going to get into the nitty-gritty of it. There's some posts on our blog if you want to read about it. But basically, we kept getting people that were interested in websites, and I knew it was something I could do, but it was kind of like, oh, I like doing this for fun. I don't know that I want to do it for work, but kind of kept coming up. And so we just started, I started kind of freelancing and just taking on projects and giving it a try, and it started going well. We started getting client work. And then naturally, we started using WordPress for the client sites. And at that time, I kind of did a quick survey, noticed that WordPress themes were becoming a thing, said, hey, why don't we try releasing something for free? I'll design it, I'll release it, and we'll see where it goes. And that's kind of where everything kicked off. We released Vigilance, our first theme, in 2008, and that's where it all started. It was a free theme. Got a lot of attention. It was featured on Mashable. It was on WordPress.com when WordPress.com didn't have many themes. And that was kind of our start. And we started getting customers that were signing up and paying us for support. And we did that for about 2 years until it was big enough that we felt like we could make the jump to doing that full time. And then since then, for the past 4 years, we've been doing that pretty much full time. We've got a new project called Memberful, which is like a membership plugin for WordPress and a software as a service thing, but that's different. But anyway, we've been doing this for now full time for 4 years, so that's kind of how we got into it.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. And one thing I note when I think of Theme Founder is you guys have a really, really lean and really mean team. I mean, it's but with your team, and I'm a big proponent of, you know, size really doesn't matter. It's really about your products and what you're doing. I mean, you guys have put out some amazing stuff over the years. And I mean, how big is your team today?
There's five of us. It's myself, Zach and Corey, who are both developers, Scott, who's a designer, and then my wife, Jennifer, does like operations and stuff like that. So, yeah, five of us. So we're small. But like you said, I think we've got a ton of talent on the team, and we've been able to put out some stuff over the past few years.
Yeah, I think the work speaks for itself. I mean, even look at, you guys were very involved in the 2012 theme in WordPress Core, is that right?
Yeah, that was kind of a solo deal. Actually, Lance Willett and I worked on that along with Matt Mullenweg, and then we kind of brought some other, and Constantine Oberlin came in later on, but that was kind of a little bit, the Theme Foundry, the guys out of the Theme Foundry didn't really participate too much in 2012 because they were busy working on our stuff.
Theme Foundry projects, right?
Yeah, kind of a side project for me more than anything.
Yeah.
Have you found that beyond, I mean, obviously the work speaks for itself, but have you found any challenges in actually expanding the audience in the sense of people finding you beyond the constraints of a WordCamp or word of mouth in our little community where we all kind of see each other. I know that I've in speaking with other WordPress theme organizations and plugins, that has been something of a challenge that they've had to kind of grow into, to figure out how to kind of the growth hack into an area where people are at large are seeing more of the product and stuff. Have you seen growth in that area? What does that look like for you on a daily? Are there special things that you're doing to expand your audience?
Well, yeah, that's a good point. I mean, basically our new theme make is kind of a foray into, so when we started, like I said, we released Vigilance for free, and that's kind of where we got a huge amount of our initial customers. And then we got away from that and we started to do purely premium commercial stuff. So we didn't do any free stuff. So sure. Going back, in one of the reasons why we released Make for free and why we built something that's like insanely powerful and did it for free was to kind of it's really comes back to marketing, like you're talking about. We're trying to get back to that audience and start getting in to those people that are, you know, regular WordPress users that we can start to reach and bring in as customers, versus maybe, you know, just the word of mouth and the people that already know about us and other things. So it's definitely a marketing related decision, and obviously it's really good for the community and those things as well.
Let's talk about that for a second. How does Make work? So we're talking maybe how we're going to get that out to folks. It's a free thing, and there's some marketing related stuff, but how does it work? Let's talk through Make a bit.
Okay. So Make, the key killer feature of Make is that there's a page builder built into the in every page that you create. So it's drag and drop. You can do tons of flexible things with it. It's really intuitive to use. I think if you talk to anyone that uses it, they'll testify to that it's incredibly easy to use, and we had to make a lot of strong decisions about, you know, how that builder was laid out and how it functioned so that it was easy to use, and you could build lots of different layouts with it and things like that. So that's kind of the core killer feature of Make. It's also got a lot of customization options, so you can set, like, you know, background colors, fonts, things like that, like things that your typical regular WordPress user really likes to have. The way we're monetizing Make is a little different. We're doing it through a plugin called Make Plus, which basically is like it powers up Make. So you get more features, you get support. We're going to keep adding features. So it's basically like an add-on for Make. So Make is still, you know, Make is free. It's powerful. It's a great theme. But if you want to take it further, you want WooCommerce support, you want Typekit, you want all these features, you can get Make Plus, and you can really take it to the next level. And that's kind of, we're doing some upselling within the theme. We're trying to do it in a very classy way of, like, you know, explaining, like, hey, you can get this feature if you upgrade and other things, you know, and avoid doing, like, you know, really nasty upsell nags or anything like that. But yeah, that's kind of the business model in a nutshell.
You know, that's a good point. I think it's one thing that Theme Foundry is known for, which is the premium side, and obviously your company need to make money, but I think across the board through your products and through your advertising and various other areas that you do in a very respectable way, in a non-intrusive way, mm-hmm. a way that makes people want to support you, right? Because you're not kind of always shoving this stuff in my face and saying, buy this, buy that, but, you know, do this, do that. Can't have that feature unless you pay, you know, that type of stuff. You do it in a really clever way. And I think it's, I would assume that it also shows in your sales and some of these items that it's doing it that way, even though it's not as intrusive, probably still has a much higher return than those ones that are in your face.
Well, the two things that caught my attention right away, one is the WooCommerce integration. That's sick. Like, I'm totally digging WooCommerce. I'm totally digging themes that are ready to bring that in, because I think it expands the opportunities of any site. It allows monetization very quickly. So that's the first thing. But the second one, which is kind of not really related to the theme but more to the code, is I'm seeing this fork Make on GitHub. That's kind of kick-ass. So, like, that's really in keeping with the whole WordPress tradition. So, I, you know, what was the What was the driving force behind that? Was it something along those lines, or was there a different motivation behind opening up the source code for Make on GitHub?
Well, we all from the get-go, when we decide, hey, we're going to make, you know, a kick-ass, powerful WordPress theme, and we want it to be open source. So naturally, you know, GitHub's the, you know, the premier place to kind of host that and get contributions. And the crazy thing is, we've already gotten quite a few pull requests. We've already gotten comments. We've already made improvements to the code. So it's just it's really refreshing to have something out there, and it also gives developers a chance to say, hey, wow, like look at these guys, this code. It's really clean. It's really well done, and it gives them kind of a peek into how we do things if they may have not otherwise, you know, had that peak. And the other thing, Dre, you mentioned WooCommerce. One of the really killer features that comes with Make Plus is the way that the builder is organized is you have sections. Mm-hmm. And you can basically add those sections and then reorganize them, and then you can do things kind of horizontally as well. But with Make Plus, you get a WooCommerce section. So you actually can, you can add, you know, it's specific to WooCommerce, and if you've got WooCommerce, and it's really clean. If you don't have WooCommerce installed, you don't even see it. But when you have WooCommerce installed, all of a sudden that section is right there. You can start playing with it, adding products and stuff, and it's really powerful.
I may be selling some fightwear gear here soon, so this is certainly something of interest. It may fall in on one of my servers.
But he'll be hitting you up for a license, is what he's
saying. I know, hey, bro, hook a brother up.
Funds are tight.
Yeah, this is fabulous, yeah. Dude. I'm really digging what you're doing here.
Yeah, is this so? Are you considering potentially Make? I mean, it looks like Make is really the premier product of Theme Foundry. Really have spent a lot of time on it. You can see that in GitHub. You can see there's a lot of hours around the project. It's really, it looks like something special. I haven't played with it personally, but just based on what I'm looking at, it looks pretty amazing. Is this going to kind of change the path to your other themes? Are you looking at kind of maybe rolling those over to something that integrate with Make? Are they going to still kind of stay completely separate? Have you not thought about it at all? Is there any kind of correlation there?
Well, right now, I think what it's going to allow us to do and how we're thinking about it right now is we've always done things simpler. We've never been kind of like, you know, let you do everything type of theme. So in a way, this kind of, by making this, I guess our flagship offering of to, you know, regular WordPress users, they don't know it, they need help, and even developers that want to kind of you know, make client sites really quickly and do something at a reduced budget when, you know, the client maybe doesn't have a big budget to do a totally custom site, but kind of make that our flagship offering. And what it will allow us to do is not feel strained to do all of that in every theme we do. So we can kind of still focus on doing really clean and simple themes that have some options that are, you know, but they are very, you know, the design is very specific. So if you're buying that, you know you're buying it for the design and the layout because you really like it. But if you want this kind of, you know, more powerful thing where you have more control, that's where you go, then you go to Make. So it's kind of, we really feel like they'll complement each other well. And just different personality of buyer, you know, somebody that wants more control or somebody that's doing a lot of client sites versus.
So the theory there that you'd be testing is it opens up a whole new audience demographic, extends that ability beyond just the regular marketing stuff that we may have been talking about, whether that's SEO, SEM. This new product actually engages that market. It extends beyond what your regular product line is offering now in terms of audience, giving you, you know, more market share in that area. By any means, do you think that this potentially cannibalizes your existing audience and customer base? Does it make sense to do that? Just thinking out loud.
Yeah, no, and that's, you know, that was kind of a vivid thought, you know, and it was even more vivid when we released it. But I felt like, you know, when you really think it through, I feel strongly that sometimes, you know, and this has been said before, this isn't a new insight, but you have to be willing to kind of cannibalize your own stuff and do something kind of really groundbreaking. And if you're always feeling about, well, we kind of have to dance around our product lineup and do these things, then you might restrict, you know, doing something, making a big splash with something. So we felt like, you know, we really wanted to make a big splash with this. And the early results are good. We haven't seen any of that cannibalization yet. But that's not to say it won't happen. And it's a different, it's a different life cycle too with these, when you're doing kind of the freemium, in that people get comfortable with the product, then they start upgrading. It's not necessarily where they just come to the site and buy it right away.
Yeah. The actual usage where you start to see the cash isn't really up front, so it changes your actual revenue stream. And frankly, if you're not losing in terms of revenue based on the new users on in the make product versus what you have now, you're probably in a good spot. That's great.
And you know, the other thing it gives, and this is something that we used to have free trials for our themes, and I think it's important to give customers some kind of touching off point for your brand. So, you know, hey, I downloaded this. It gives me some confidence in these guys versus just saying, like, I have to go in and open my wallet before I see anything.
That definitely helps, for sure. Yeah,
it helps, but there's the other side of that, and in terms of the resources and overhead that you incur in terms of support and what have you from maybe folks that aren't early adopters. They just want to try it. They want to get in there and do that, and they're not sustainable customers. So there's certainly a trade-off.
Very true, yeah. And I should mention, too, that we're really providing support only for the Make Plus product, so you're not going to get the same level of support. I mean, we might help. We're not going to just abandon people, but we're not going to divert a lot of support resources. But that is true. I mean, it does add overhead for sure.
So you mentioned it's been out a week, right? It came out last Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So even though you didn't announce it on our show, that's cool. But anyways, how's the reception been? You said it sounds like it's been pretty good, but I mean, are you seeing a lot of downloads? Are you seeing some people upgrading? It's been pretty positive so far.
Yeah, we are. It's been really positive. I mean, we've had close to 6,000 downloads in the first week, which is...
Wow, ooh, congrats.
Yeah, and then we're already kind of almost cracking the top 20 of the most popular themes on WordPress.org in the first week. And that's rated weekly, but, you know, we're really happy with the response. And, yeah, the sales have been good, too. And you know, the first couple of days, they were kind of slow, and we were getting a bit worried, but they've really picked up. And I think I really believe in the freemium business model because I know it's how we got started. That's how we kind of built our initial kind of groundwork. And I think it does have a lot of have a lot of power if you're able to leverage it and make sure that you're offering enough with your upgrade.
That's great to hear. It definitely looks like a great product. We certainly wish you all the best. We know that everything you put out there is pretty awesome. Our chat room is you have a lot of fans of your collections theme in the chat room. Quite a few customers as well. So they're all loving the stuff you're putting out. So I'm excited to download this and start playing with it. It definitely looks pretty cool, and it'll be very where it goes from here.
Most definitely. Congrats, bro.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. So with that, let's move right into today's pressing topics.
Pressing topics of the week.
Man, can't get enough of these themes, brother. That's what I'm saying. What is the state of the WordPress theme industry? A post that was dropped on Post Status here yesterday. It's talking about times, and they are changing. Intro here, having been in the WordPress theme industry since 2009, I think I have a rare perspective. I think all of us have a rare perspective. We've all been around it. I come from the design side. In fact, it'll be my 10-year anniversary later this year with WordPress, and I started by making a theme for my portfolio of logos and graphics designs in 2004. It's a crazy world. It's changed so much, and it continues to change. Look at what we're doing now and what we're seeing from the Theme Foundry with Make. What's your guys' take on this? Where are we at, really at today, and where do we go from here in terms of themes for WordPress?
Yeah, I mean, the post on PostSats, which is republished from Medium, written by David Perel, it's definitely an interesting post for sure. I'm very curious to get Drew's thoughts on it, but essentially the point he makes is that the theme market is just, it's in a state of decline. If you're not basically releasing themes constantly, your sales are going to flatline. To be honest, I agree with part of his point. I think you make some valid points. That, you know, I think this theme market is very saturated. We all know that. You know, if you search WordPress themes on Google, how many results do you get? Billions, right? It's just ridiculous how many themes are out there. So sometimes we get used to hearing names like the Theme Foundry and StudioPress and the ones that we know of, but normal users, and especially people just getting into WordPress, they don't know those names. And that's definitely a challenge for people like Drew, right, is to get those, to make people understand that you are a trustworthy source and you do make good themes versus some other site that is selling malicious themes or, you know, themes that maybe aren't up to the standard. So, Drew, what are your thoughts? I mean, would you agree with this article? Do you think sales are kind of declining and it's a very tough market to get in or be in?
Yeah, so it was a really interesting article. And as far as our experience, we've seen kind of, I'd say, flat more than declining. We've been, you know, for the past year, we've been pretty flat and we've been kind of, you know, trying to push different buttons. Like, how can we kind of push past this level that we're at? But when I heard about some of the numbers that were coming up for some of these other theme shops, I was actually really shocked because I know where our numbers are at. I was just expecting that they would be higher than that. So I was a little bit shocked, but nonetheless, I do see, you know, we're seeing this day in and day out, and it's definitely been kind of a bit stagnant. But I think ultimately this comes down to brand, and it comes down to marketing. There's a lot of saying things that are commodities. I mean, look at cell phones. Cell phones are becoming more commoditized with Android and sub-$100 phones and all these things, and they'll continue to be a commodity, but that certainly doesn't mean that, you know, high-end producers of that commodity that do stuff that's really special, that have kind of, you know, established themselves, you know, companies like Apple, can't still make, you know, a lot of money on a commodity product. So I think we need to be careful to, if we lump in, you know, once this becomes a commodity, then therefore all profits are out the window and there's no way to make money. I think in any industry, I mean, you could go to, you know, hamburger stands in Austin, Texas. I mean, where we are, you know, if you just got a, you know, there might be 100 of them in town, but if you've got good branding, you've got good marketing, and you're making great burgers, you're going to stand out and you're going to be successful.
Yeah, I agree. Where I think it becomes something of interest for me, being where the market is, kind of like what we've talked about here today and what Brad mentioned, there's a lot of them out there. Some do it really well. I think those will continue to be successful, true to your point. But what is a viable and sustainable business model and moving forward for theme companies? Does it make sense to release a theme every month? I don't know that it does. Maybe it does. I like the idea of recurring revenue. I don't know if that makes full sense with a theme. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. I think that there's some conflict to get through there when you start talking about licensing and use, not allowing people to use with subscriptions, canceling, things like that. Does it make sense to have them subscribe for support? Is that something that makes sense? So where's the true, you know, moving forward strategy in terms of business models for themes? Does it stay where it's at today? You yourself stated that there may be some flat kind of movement over the last year. How do we kind of start moving the needle on that again?
Well, ultimately, I think you need to start. I think it basically forces everybody to raise the bar in order to offer things that are unique. Like, you know, you mentioned subscription revenue, and one of the unique things we've done, and I don't know if you guys saw this when it was mentioned earlier this spring, we released a theme called Oxford, and we partnered with Typekit on that theme. And the great thing about that theme is you don't need to have a Typekit account to use Oxford. So you buy Oxford, you get Typekit fonts, and we're handling that whole piece. That's and cool. You're paying a subscription. You pay initially, and then there's a renewal fee, a yearly renewal fee. But the difference is we're not just saying like, hey, you get updates and support and that's it. We're saying you get updates, support, and you get Typekit. So I think it's about trying to find other ways that you can add value to the equation for that customer so they feel like, well, you know what, I am getting value out of this. You know, I'm getting Typekit fonts and I've really gotten, you know, interacted well with their support, et cetera, you know, I don't mind kicking in X per year to continue using this theme if I'm still using it.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a great value. I mean, you sell it for $79 for site, right? And then the renewal's $39 a year, so slightly less than half on the renewal. I mean, is $39 a year really too much to ask somebody to pay for updates.
With that type of value, bro. No way.
To make sure it works with the current versions of WordPress and everything's up to date and you're incorporating new features as they're rolled into WordPress and you get Typekit. I mean, that's... I don't get people that complain about
that comes into exceptional builds and great support and trusted names and brands and the things that we're talking about here today. If it provides value for my business or my customer's business, and I know it's going to have some kick-ass support, I know that it's going to meet at my expectations from a security perspective, and when WordPress changes, it's not going to explode mine or my client's tech. Dude, I'll pay triple that. Like, it's totally worth it, right? And I think people make those decisions based on that value. Those folks that are doing exceptional work are the ones that even in a saturated market are going to continue to move forward. Apple was that example you used, Drew, and I couldn't agree more.
So on the flip side, Chris Wallace wrote a really good post, kind of in response to the post on post status, and he asked the question, are themes a commodity? And he makes some really good points on why he doesn't think so and what and the ones that are having the problems, what they're doing wrong and what he thinks they should be doing to make it right. And I really agree with his points. I mean, it really boils down to, going after specific niches in the market. Rather than building a theme that is kind of anything and everything, build a theme that's very specific. Build a theme that's, meant for churches. Build a theme that's meant for restaurants. Build a theme that's meant for auto dealers. Build a theme that solves a specific need. And those customers that are looking to have that need filled will find you. I agree. I think that's where the market's headed. I think a lot of people are starting to figure this out, and those shops are doing very well.
I think.
I don't know. What's your take on that, Drew?
Ooh,
it's and I don't know if you guys both agree with me on that. So I definitely want to hear from Drew because your themes aren't necessarily for a specific. Some of them are for a specific niche, but they can absolutely use for that niche, right?
Yeah, I think what comes to mind, Brad, with Chris's comments, which I think are, he's made a lot of great points, is that, there's, if you look at any successful business in any field, it doesn't matter what it is, you need to have good three things. You need to have, really happy customers that revolves around, providing great support and so that they have a real positive association with the brand. You also need to have great marketing. So that people actually find out about you and have a way to find out about you. And then you also have to have great products and that your products are actually good and whatever you're making or your service is actually good. So I think because the barrier to entry in the WordPress theme market is so low, I mean, almost anybody can create a theme and put it on ThemeForest or do something like that. So the barrier to entry is really low. So you get a lot of maybe single people or, one man show that can do one of those things really well. Like maybe they're a great designer, but they're lacking in support and they can't market it very well. Or maybe they're great at marketing, but the design and the code and things aren't that great. So I think ultimately the problem for a lot of that is lacking that dynamic, that dynamic of hitting on all three of those cylinders. And I know personally, I've really struggled with marketing, and that's something that I tried to work on a lot, and I know it's not our strong suit. And I think that's why, one of the key reasons why the guys at WooThemes were so successful when they first started out was that they really complemented each other well and the skill sets that they had that they brought to the table and how it all came together, with support, great design and products, and then marketing. So I think it's there's a lot of people that are missing certain one of those legs, and that can really hurt any business.
That's a great point, Dre. I know you wanted to disagree with me there.
Yeah, I disagree with you just because you're Brad. I got nothing.
I think Drew, you nailed it. I think if you have to be in those areas, like if you might have some amazing products, but if nobody knows who you are, you're going to have a problem. Or you might have some terrible products, but if all you do is market yourself, you might be doing great because nobody knows your products are crap. No, that's not true. I mean, honestly, in this world, especially this community, like it takes a long time to build a good name, right? And it's very easy to destroy that name. And word travels fast. If you piss off all the agencies and the freelancers that are using your themes, and you're pushing out just really kind of, junky code, Word's going to spread and your sales are going to decline. You'll still get the average users that maybe don't know who you are, but you're going to lose that kind of residual, the people that are building sites for other people. You're going to lose that very, very quickly, right? And that's going to be a big hit to your bottom line.
Yeah, I think the point I was disagreeing with you on was around the niche kind of targeting. You know, I think that's good. We certainly need products in those areas, but you know, we're targeting to a very small subsection of the users that you have in our community using WordPress. And when you think through that, I mean, them coming to you, it's not so simple. One, they got to be on WordPress. Two, you know, figuring out if the product that you're offering really fulfills all the things that they need compared to another regular product off the shelf. So another, you know, Theme Foundry theme that just is good enough, they could put a plug-in and have, or you know, even just change some of the branding behind it, and it fills that need for them. It's kind of challenging to think that that type of niche target marketing works straight out of the box. I don't think it's that simple. That's all.
Yeah, I think, well, I mean, if you look at, Drew, if you look at some of your themes, like, your themes are amazing and look really good. They could be used for a lot of different niches, right? Or, you know, they could be used for a church website. They could use for a car dealership. Exactly. But trying to market those themes to those particular audiences is a challenge, because all you're going to do is dilute your message if you're just stuffing in all these keywords trying to get these people to find your products. So it's probably more around education, letting them, like you do, let them know what's flexible, what's not flexible, what they can do. Obviously, with Make, it seems like the sky's the limit on what you can build. I think the marketing is going to be a little bit tricky, because it's like, if you can build anything and everything under the sun, how do you tell people what they can build, right? That's got to be a challenge.
Well, you got to focus. I mean, look at what the folks with Happy Tables did, right? Like, they built something specifically for restaurants, and they've done really well there. That took a lot of effort. That took a custom engine to really, you know, capitalize well in that market, in that segment. And I'm not saying it can't be successful, but you're limiting yourself to that thing. And I think that if you have 50 products, you're only going to move them so far. There's way too many other products out there that are just usable out of the box, that they can, that they're good enough, right? Yeah. That they're going to go and pay for those things versus something that's targeted, unless you're really putting the effort behind it, like something like Happy Tables.
No, that's a great point. It's the... Definitely got to know what you're doing in this industry around themes, I think, because there are a lot of players out there, and if you're not doing things right, you're going to get swallowed up very quickly. But that's why we have great people like Drew on the show, who's been around since 2008, and you wouldn't still be here if you weren't doing things correctly. So it's great to see Awesome Shop still out there really pushing the boundaries of WordPress and what it can do.
Well, and it is continuing to push through, man. This is crazy. We are on the day after its 11th birthday. So WordPress celebrated 11 years since its first official public release. And that's, man, that's crazy. So I've been around it for 10 years, and I never thought it'd be something this big or this crazy, or I'd be so attached to it. But 11 years, guys. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday indeed. It feels like just the other day, we're, you know, the big 10th anniversary, everybody was celebrating. Now it's 11, so I'm like, what?
Yeah, I know, right?
What just happened? What year is it? I don't even know.
Well, it was around the beginning of a broadcast when we actually broadcasted the couple days within the birthday, the 10th birthday, because we had all the cakes and all the pictures and stuff where we were broadcasting on. Crazy.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. It's definitely cool to see WordPress more popular than ever. It just keeps growing and growing and growing. I know we're all anxious to hear the stats this year at the State of the Word, which you still got a little bit of a wait because it's going to be in the fall this year. But there's no signs of it slowing down right now anyway, so it's pretty cool to see WordPress hit another birthday, another big milestone, another day older.
Another day. Good times. Well, WordPress for iOS was featured in Apple's new iPad advertising campaign. So we see WordPress appear on various, you know, commercials at times, even news, CNN. We've seen it all over the place, but now on an Apple iPad campaign. That's some marketing done right, huh?
That is not a bad deal. It's funny because I feel like WordPress is just starting to show up in places like, you know, it makes sense. On an Apple commercial, it's an Apple iOS app, right? That's cool. I feel like it's really starting to show up places that are much more mainstream and much less on the geeky side of things. Like, obviously, an iPad, it's a little bit geeky, but, I mean, everyone, it seems like, has an iPad these days. So seeing WordPress in that instance is pretty neat. There's some rapper that had WordPress in their lyrics that's out there. It's just like, I feel like it's the term WordPress is almost like transcending into this, you know, very minor pop culture status or something, where it's like people that aren't even technical are gonna at least know WordPress, what that means. It's pretty neat to see that happening. I feel like it's kind of starting to happen right in front of our eyes. And in 5 years from now, you know, it's like if you ask your grandparents what's Facebook, like they at least kind of know it's something online, right? I mean,
I don't know. We need to get more.
It's an online thing.
What's that?
I don't know.
Terrible jokes.
It'd be interesting to see I know some other brands have done surveys where they try and they just like survey 1,000 people and try and see like how many of them, like, have you heard of WordPress? Do you know what WordPress is? I think maybe WordPress did something like that in the past, or maybe it was a different brand. But I think those are always interesting. It'd be interesting to see the results of that sort of thing.
All right, so dead air. We've got some dead air today. That sounds awesome.
That's what we do. This is the most professional show in the history of the internet.
Oh, my gosh.
Don't you know that, Dre?
Yeah, word up. Well, let's go ahead and move on to this week's Bark Tricks.
Let me show you a bar trick.
Brad. And then I give it to you, Brad. Go ahead and fire away.
Oh, you know I'm ready, don't you? I actually have a bar trick. It is a little, some code. I'm pulling up the link now on GitHub that you can use. It's basically taxonomy metadata. That's all you need to know, taxonomy metadata. But it was put together by one of the devs at WebDev Studios, Justin Sternberg, the Sternbergenator. And this is actually extremely useful if you ever need to save any kind of, you know, random metadata against a taxonomy. It's currently, WordPress does not support out of the box. It's one of those features that everybody would love to see, but it's just there's a lot of questions around how it should be implemented. At some point, it will happen, but it's still probably a few versions out at the earliest. So Justin's built this nice helper class you can easily include into your themes or your plugins, and it allows you to store metadata against your taxonomies and easily call it where needed. It's a nice little helper class. It's on GitHub, so definitely feel free to contribute. He's always looking for pull requests. But this has come in very handy on some projects we've worked on, and hopefully it'll help some of you out.
I can dig it. Man, I'm going to...
What do you got over there, Dre?
I'm going to steal one that you actually gave me. I asked you for a coming soon or maintenance mode plugin for WordPress is in launching a couple new sites. And you shot me over, and we may have talked about it before, seedprod.com, the ultimate coming soon in maintenance mode plugin for WordPress. Pretty cool, very flexible, easy to use, and it's got a lot of cool little features that have helped me. I mean, anything from font integration to some custom white labeling stuff, so really easy to set up, not just for a regular browser, but also is mobile ready, so anybody navigating from a mobile phone gets a nice clean experience. And I think I will be using this across a lot of sites. Seedprod.com. Good stuff. So Drew,
what are you gonna? I heard you're gonna do some juggling for us. Is that true?
We're gonna pull out something old but really handy that we use a lot at the Theme Foundry. And I wanted to make sure I got this right, because I know we forked it initially, but it doesn't look like the original code is out there. So you can find it on our GitHub now and trace back the original author. But it's really simple. It's called BBPress Close Old Posts. Sounds kind of boring and simple, but if you're running any kind of support forum for products around WordPress or anything else and you're using BBPress, having this plugin is really invaluable. You just set it to close old posts so you don't have people dragging up 6-month-old topics from your support forums. Best link would probably be github.com/thefoundry/bbpress-close-old-posts.
I'm sure all of our readers got that down. we'll make sure to have a link in the show notes to that repo. I'll pull it up right now. That definitely sounds cool. I want to check that out. It's always fun sharing code, especially through GitHub. Get some people to check it out and potentially even contribute back to it.
For sure. And like I said, that's not, we didn't write that code. We forked it, but it looks like the original is now gone. So you can take that one and fork it and do whatever.
What the fork? Oh, man, that's terrible. All right. Well, those are some good. No, those work really well. I think we've got a few events coming up over the coming weeks, kicking off here pretty quickly. Brad, talk a little bit about Philly. What's going on in Philly, my man?
Well, I don't know. Is something going on in Philly? Something I should be aware of?
Well,
WordCamp Philly. That's what you're talking about. WordCamp Philly. So not this weekend, but next weekend after this, June 7th and 8th. It's a little bit, the more I talk about it, the more scared I get that I forgot something major. But it's coming, and we actually have a great group of people helping organize it and volunteers, and it's going to be a pretty amazing event. Dre, I know you will be in town, so the Drad will probably be on hand doing some kind of weird shenanigans. But it's going to be a great event. We got five tracks and an auditorium. We have Helen is going to keynote, the developer lead on WordPress 4.0. She's going to keynote. A lot of familiar faces, a lot of new faces for the event. It's just fun to get everybody together, hang out, have a whole weekend around WordPress in Philly.
How many years is this? What WordCamp Philly is this?
This will be our fourth WordCamp Philly. Yep.
All right. I think I've been to every one.
You probably have. I usually guilt you into it. And you love to come out to the East Coast, I know, because it's the best coast. So,
well, this year I'm extending the trip. I'm actually going to stay out there with you. We're going to do hopefully a live broadcast of the Dradcast Wednesday following the event between WordCamp Philly and WordCamp Chicago, which is June 13th through the 15th. I'll be attending that as well. Any of you guys heading up to Chi-Town?
No, I will not be.
I'll take that as well. Yeah, a lot of WordCamps coming up. I'll be at WordCamp New York as well, coming up August 2nd through the 3rd. I know we got WordCamp Grand Rapids coming up, WordCamp Montreal coming up. I mean, there's just a lot of good stuff coming up here. Any other events you guys are attending?
Drew, you hitting any WordCamps?
No, I'm not hitting anything anytime soon.
Maybe WordCamp San Francisco towards the end of the year?
Potentially.
Cool. Philly's it for me for a while, and then I'm looking at New York, obviously, because that's close by as well. Always a fun one. And then San Francisco there in October.
Milwaukee. I'm hitting up Milwaukee, too.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be a good one. I'm hearing about some behind the scenes from Brad Parbs, one of the organizers, so it looks to be a great event.
Very excited to be heading up there. Yeah, yeah. Spent some time in the northwest suburbs of Chicago, so Chicago coming up here in a few weeks, and then Milwaukee. Exciting enough. Guys, this has been an awesome show. It flew by as it usually does.
Yes.
Man, Drew, where can folks find you, brother? What's the best place for them to find you and the work that you're doing?
Best place would just be thethemefoundry.com, you can find me on Twitter. Just my name, at Drew Stroney, and that's really about it. I don't have an expansive online profile or anything like that, but that would be the best places to check us out.
So Twitter is a place to stalk you, huh?
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Bradford, man, another show in the books, brother. Close to the books. Yeah.
We're getting close to the whatever anniversary that is. Don't you have to buy me diamonds or something, or is that? Yeah, I don't know. We're getting there. We definitely want to mention next week is going to be a Drad World episode.
Yes.
So it will be, if you're not familiar, we did it at the beginning. The first Wednesday of the month will be Drad World, which will be an episode we record during the day. So it will be 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, and we'll have someone from outside of the U.S. On the show. That's in a time zone that's a little bit farther away, so we can have them on, so they're not trying to host a show at 3 or 4 in the morning. Man, and next week, we have a pretty amazing host.
Yeah, we should probably announce that. Today. No, you go first. Not.
All right, next week, we got the one and only Yoast. Mr. WordPress SEO Yoast is going to be the hosting the show next week on Drad World, so keep an eye out for that. It's going to be a pretty awesome show, and it will be during the day, so keep that in mind if you're in the U.S.
Yeah, make sure to get the tweets out on that, folks. We want a large audience. We may have some giveaways and all other fun stuff going on that weekend, or that week, that episode next week for Drad World. Look, 350 pounds, 260, whatever the size in life, it doesn't matter, and it doesn't take a heavyweight person to win the fight. Jiu-Jitsu has proven that to me. It has proven that technique trumps strength. Experience wins. It really comes down to simplicity and repeatable process. Trust in your techniques. The same thing can happen with WordPress now, thanks to Drew and his team. Head over to the Theme Foundry, and it's time to make. For the Rad and Drad, I'm the Doctor. Thanks for joining us on episode 46 with Drew Stroney. We're out. Booyah!
Booyah! There you have it, folks, the latest edition of the Dradcast. If you dig the show, make sure you pass it on. If you have content for the show, want to submit to be a guest host, or just want to listen to older episodes, visit the Dradcast website at dradcast.com. While you're there, make sure you click the iTunes subscribe link to catch us on iTunes. Don't forget to follow at Dradcast on Twitter, and we thank you for tuning in. Join Dre and Brad plus a new guest host next week.
Yes!
On another episode of the Dradcast. Drad.